In the book of Romans, chapter number 1, verse number 1, we'll read this together. We'll read it twice. I want us to look at this. We picked up on this a little bit last week. I want to get into some other things. There's some words in here, and I believe we need to look at some of it. It said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And we'll read it again. Paul, amen, comma, a servant of Jesus Christ, comma, called to be an apostle, as another comma, separated unto the gospel of God. Four little thoughts in that. And I told you last week in studying it that here's the key words that I'd like to look at in this scripture. Paul is one of them, a servant. And then Jesus Christ, the word called, the word apostle, the word separated, and the word unto, and the words gospel of God. And there's a lot of preaching in all that. And we'll not be able to cover all that ground. But we need to look at this tonight, and I pray that the Lord will give us some little help and strength. Let's pray again. Father, give us wisdom. Give us understanding. Lord, teach us tonight Thy Word. May Your Word, Lord, be lodged in our heart. And may we begin to study it. And not only study it, but apply it to our life. And Lord, may it make a difference in our life. And we'll give You the praise and the glory for what You accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, writing this book of Romans, Paul is giving it, and he's telling us who he's writing it to. And I'll have to go down a little further and read a verse to show you who it's to. It's verse number 7. Look and see who this book is to. Now, I sometimes look at introductions to books, and I think, well, I don't want to get into the introduction. I'd like to get into the meat. But if you don't get the introduction, you're going to miss the whole book. And so we're going to get enough of the introduction to understand it. So in verse number 7, he said, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Now, who's he writing it to? You can see it pretty plain. First of all, to all in Rome. Amen. When you get that? And then he said, beloved of God. Thank God that's the saints of God, because he says it right behind it. Called to be saints. Praise God. I'm glad tonight that it actually includes me and you. Not just to Rome, but to you and me as well. It's written to the saints of God. And so Paul's writing to the saints of God. What is a saint anyhow? Amen. We started talking about that a little bit last week. A saint's a person who is officially recognized in the Christian church as one who is holy. That's basically it. He's a holy individual. And they're holy because of the way they live and the way that they conduct themselves in society. And that's how they get the idea and the thought and the statement made about them that they are saints. Now, you said, if I'm not holy, am I not too much, not a saint? You're not a too good a one. Amen. And we need to be holy tonight. And God demands that we have holy lives. Now, we're not going to talk a lot about Paul. But I want you to look at this little phrase, and we're going to talk about it a little bit. And he says, a servant. You see that word servant? We didn't deal with that last week. But that word servant, that's a word that we don't particularly care too much about sometimes as a child of God. But Rome certainly needed the preaching of this man called Paul. They needed this letter. It was in dire need of preaching. Matter of fact, Rome still needs some preaching. Amen, of that same thing. And actually needs to get back at it. When we hear Rome today having its ideas about purgatory and the praying to Mary and the sacraments and all the things that they say and the infant baptism, certainly they need the preaching of the Word of God. Don't you believe that? List goes on and on of what they do. But now, in Paul's day, Rome was in a deep moral decay. Though morals were very low. People were doing things that shouldn't be done. They're still doing that today. It's not much difference. But I'm looking at Paul. Paul knew this one thing that Rome needed, that he knew that if they got it, it's going to help them, and it certainly wouldn't help them or hurt them. I was in the other morning a place and walked in to get me a cup of coffee. Over here at the Golden Arch Supper Club. Amen. You know what that is? But I walked in and I went on to get my coffee, and while I was walking, I heard somebody saying something, but I couldn't hear. I didn't know where it was coming from. And as I come back, I looked around and somebody said, Brother Dales. And I looked back and there a fellow had been speaking. I didn't pick up on who he was to start with, but he'd been in the church a long time. And we got to talking. And so in a few minutes, he made a little statement like this. I said, all I know to do is just preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature. That's all I know. And he said, well, the gospel's got to help them, I guess. Amen. And I looked at him and I said, if the gospel don't help them, nothing will help them. I want him to know that tonight. And I still believe that tonight. The world needs the gospel. Now, Paul knew that Rome needed a preaching of Jesus Christ. They needed the gospel. They didn't need reformation. They didn't need forms. They didn't need rituals. They didn't need things to go under, schisms of all kinds. They needed the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Who wrote the manual on the gospel anyhow, if you'll think about it? It was the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said the gospel was a death, a burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. He said that is the manual. He's got the manual on the gospel. I believe that, don't you? Now somebody said, well, Paul must have been the founder of the church in Rome. No, he wasn't. There's a church there already. Paul's just writing a letter to them. Said, well, it must have been Peter to stay in the line of the Roman Catholicism. Then Peter must have been the first pope. That's not what he's saying there. You can't find that in the Word of God either. Amen. You can't find it. So, reckon who started the church in Rome? I don't know who started. And I had never found anybody else. But I just got a little sneaky suspicion that somebody was out there on the day of Pentecost, hearing the gospel for the first time and got saved and went back to Rome and began to teach and preach to somebody else and they got saved. And that little nucleus of people gathered together and built a church. I don't know. You said, I don't believe that. Well, I don't know whether that's so or not, but I know there's a church there. It got started somehow. It wasn't from Paul and it wasn't from Peter. So somebody established a church in Rome and Paul's there preaching now. He's trying to get it. I do know that Rome was the seat of the government in the Roman Empire. And so I know that Paul was going there with a promise to try to preach. And the church in Rome, Rome in particular, was composed of Jews and composed of Gentiles. More Gentiles than Jews, but they were composed of both groups if you look at it. Brother, I'll tell you what Paul is saying. We need something here. Look in verse 11. Paul's telling them why he's writing this book to the people in Rome. In verse 11 he said, for I long to see you that I may, what? What's that word? Impart. That means give you something. Impart unto you somewhat. Spiritual gift. Some spiritual gift. I can give you something from heaven. I can give you something from God. Something that's spiritual. Then he said, to the end you may be, what's that big word? Established. Paul said, I'm giving you something to get you established. If I know my heart tonight, brother, we need some people that are established. And brother, if we're not established, we're going to fall for every wind of doctrine that comes through. We're going to be turned upside down and the devil's going to knock us off our feet. If we don't get established, we've got to get established in God's precious Word. That's why I love to study it. Every time I read a little bit and gain a little bit, brother, God just putting my feet down a little more solid, making that foundation sure and steadfast and unmovable. Thank God I'm glad I built upon not sand, but upon the Word of the living God tonight that will not fall away. Praise God. Ain't you glad you're on a firm foundation? I'm on the only foundation there is for man to build on. A lot of people build on other things, but it's like quickening sand. And brother, I'm glad tonight I'm on the solid rock, the rock of ages. Amen and amen. Now, in looking at this, we'll find in verse 11 that he's going to impart some spiritual gift, and at the same time that he might get them established. You see, the devil always comes along and plants these people who's got swelling words. And those that's got those little different ideas about the Word of God, he always plants them so that we can be led astray. And God wants us to be established where they don't bother us. You know, I believe today our churches are at a place, and I honestly say this, and I believe with all my heart, that a lot of people fall for anything and everything simply because they're not established on what the truth is. They don't know which way to go. A lot of people today, you get preachers to come through, and if they preach the truth, some of them don't even know where it's the truth or not. They've heard so much other stuff. And they've been studying the Word of God and learning it this way. When you study the Word of God, take all your biases away. Amen. Don't have any preconceived ideas about the Word of God when you study it. That'll help you better than anything. Don't you think about what Dr. Bottlestopper said down the road or what this preacher said to you. Brother, you take the Word of God at face value. Let the Spirit of God direct you. You said, I'm afraid I'll get the wrong answer. If the Spirit of God gives you the answer tonight, you won't have no problem with it. And you'll agree, and he will agree with all the other saints of God as well. Amen. I've heard preachers preach sometimes, and as a priest, I listened to them and I said, I'm not real sure about that. Have you heard preachers? You may have heard me say something. So I ain't so sure about what he's saying right there. I'm sure sometimes I've rattled your chains. Sometimes I'm sure I've rattled your foundation. You look, well, I ain't so sure about what the preacher said. But if you go study that, the Spirit of God that has showed me those things will show you the same thing. And if he don't, just keep on going. Don't believe what the man of God says. Go ahead and take the Word of God over the man of God. Amen. And keep a studying. Because down the road after a while, one day God will turn the light on in your soul. And you'll say, I didn't know about that. Amen. Be like living being in the bedroom, and all of a sudden, it's dark, and you slept till the daylight's come, and the sun starts shining, and you ain't been able to see nothing all night, but all of a sudden you begin to see the form and fashion of everything. That you said, hey, I've slept today. The light comes on. Brother, you keep studying the Word of God, brother. You may not know, but God will give you the light after a while. I believe that too with all my heart. Now, what happened in Rome? They had some people there in Paul's day. And you remember this, in Galatians, Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed. He is amazed that it hadn't been long that got right with God, they'd been established, and now just somebody's come through and said something, and they've jumped and changed courses, and now they're following somebody that's preaching error. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed. Well, we don't need to be that way. We need to be established. Now, we'll find too that in Rome there were some that were giving their lives for the gospel. In that day, there were some martyrs. Amen. There were some martyrs. They were dying for the cause of Christ. Matter of fact, they were dying in Paul's day before he got saved, if you will. Yes, sir, they were. Matter of fact, he was helping them along a little bit when he was breathing threats against the church. And they were dying. Stephen, he even stood there and held the cloak of some while Stephen died. Amen. Wouldn't you have thought that Stephen would have been one that won him to God? Looked like Paul would have seen the Lord that day. Stephen did, but Paul didn't. Amen. Stephen may have had a little part in it. Because in a couple more chapters over, you find him getting right with God. We'll talk about that a little bit later if we have time tonight. But we'll see that here. He's talking about, I am talking about the martyrs who are giving their life. In other words, in that day, they had some that would not compromise the truth. They would die for what they believed. Matter of fact, they'd rather die as to compromise. But we're living a day today when people would rather compromise than die. You know what a martyr is? I wrote it down here. Here's what a martyr is. Those who know what they believe. Those who know who they believe, and those who know why they believe what they believe, and are firm enough and strong enough tonight to be willing to die for what they believe. Brother, that's what a martyr is. Somebody says, what do you mean? I mean, stand there as they put you at the stakes. I've read the stories, read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. You'll find them standing at the stake being burned, and they're shouting till their breath is drawn from them. And they're praising God. Some of them even went to the stake and held their hands up in the air. They weren't even tied to the stake, and there they were. And they just gave their life for the cause of Christ. If it hadn't, it was going to kill them anyhow. They just stood there and gave their life for Christ and become a martyr and begin to glorify God in their death. Amen. I wonder how many of us would be willing to do that. Now, in Romans, I want to give you just a little bit overall picture of this in a bird's eye view. And then I want to look at this word servant tonight. First of all, I want to say tonight that the most difficult chapters of the book of Romans will be chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8. That's the ones that people seem to have the most problems with. I love them chapters. Them are sweet ones. You talk about justification, being justified, just as if I'd never committed sin. Brother, that's a blessing. That doctrine of justification. Now, if you've got a Scofield Bible tonight, I would advise you not to listen or not pay much attention to Scofield, chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8. He got a lot of good notes through his Bible, but what happens, you get it in piecemeal, and people get confused from it. I'm going to try to give you something that's helped me down the road. I carried Scofield Bibles all my life. And I like it because where the Scripture is on the page. But sometimes He can stir you around. Listen, He's just a human like everybody else. Amen. What happens? He gets in there and He switches from justification to sanctification. And the Word's not even talking about sanctification. It's still talking about justification. Now, I don't want to confuse you, but we'll talk about that as we get deeper into this book. Brother, I'll tell you, I'm not concerned about sanctification as much as I am the justification of my soul. But I'm glad I've been sanctified as well. Glory to God. Amen. We talked about that a little bit before. Now, I'll tell you what happens. The reason we see the problems is because people don't take it like it should be. The first 11 chapters of the book of Romans will deal with doctrine. That's why I want to deal with verse number 1 quite often. We're going to talk about it because there's several doctrines in here. Amen. And we're going to deal with that. So the first 11 chapters deals with doctrine. And it deals with it completely. Chapters 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 deals more or less in practical living. And what it does is applies the doctrines of the first 11 chapters to live the life the rest of the way. And if you don't get your doctrine straightened out, you won't get your life straightened out. Brother, he deals with this. You know what the theme of the book of Romans is? Amen. It's mentioned in verse number 1, but that's not where I find the key verse sometimes. But in verse number 1, what did Paul say he come to do? He is separated unto what? The gospel of God. Brother, you'll see tonight that the theme of the book of Romans is the gospel of the grace of God. I'm glad I've got grace tonight to preach. Ain't you? Amen. I praise God for it tonight. Now, I want to get into a little bit of the study here. Romans is full of doctrine, so we're going to deal with some of the doctrines here, as I said. There's three things that Paul said about himself. Actually, you can say four things if you really want to get technical. Some of you folks are trying to split hairs on the Word of God. He said four things. First of all, he said Paul. I'll just leave that off to the side. That's his name. We talked about his name. His name means small. Paul said, I'm nothing. God's everything. But there's three things that Paul says about himself. And he put them in this order. Number one, he said, a servant of who? Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. Secondly, he said he's called to be what? An apostle. That's the second thing. The third thing is, he is separated unto what? The gospel of God. Three things Paul said about me. He said, I'm talking about me. Not me here, but I'm talking about Paul. Paul said, I'm talking about myself. And he said, there's three things I'm here for. One, he said, I'm here because I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Number two, I've been called to be an apostle. And number three, I've been separated unto the gospel of God. There's three great doctrines in the middle of this. First of all, a servant. Let's talk about a servant just a minute. You know what a servant is? And I want to give you this as I look at it. If you'll look at the first chapter and the first verse of all the writings of Paul, the 13 Epistles and 14th, if you count the book of Hebrews. And if you'll look at them and look at every first chapter and every first verse, do that when you get home. You'll find out tonight that Paul starts off basically the same way on all of them. He calls himself a servant in the book of Philippians and also in the book of Titus. And in the book of Philemon, he goes another little step and he said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, when we talk about tonight a servant, that means his manner of work. That means his service. And he's saying it's by humility. When Paul says, I'm a servant, he's just saying, I'm a least among the saints of God. And I'm a servant. I'm one who is willing to serve. Now, you can be a servant tonight and not be willing. Amen. We'll talk about that just a little bit. But I believe tonight he's saying, I'm a servant. What is a servant? He's one that's in the state of subjection. He's subjected. Now, his one is under a master. Who's his master? He names his master. Verse number 1, a servant of who? Jesus Christ. He's got his earthly name, his heavenly name. He said, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my master. Amen. I'm glad he's mine too. Praise God. I'm glad I'm in the family of God. Amen. I am. I'm glad that I'm in the family of God. Now, go a little bit further. We'll find tonight that the servant is one who yields obedience to another. And that's what Paul is saying. I'm a servant. And I'm yielding obedience to Him. That word also carries the thought of a slave. Now, thinking about a slave for a minute. A slave is somebody that's been bought. And a slave is somebody that's under the possession of somebody else. And a slave is somebody that's under bondage. But now to me tonight, when Paul's saying I'm a servant, he's saying I've been bought with a price. I belong to Him. And Paul's saying I am a servant and I serve Him. But Paul is saying I'm not under bondage. I've been set free by the grace of God. Amen. That means something to me. Now, when we get to that little thought, we think about the thought of a bond slave. In the Old Testament time, if they were a slave, and if they were a slave to somebody, they went to the year of Jubilee. 50 years, they went to the year of Jubilee. And after that year of Jubilee came up, they could be set free and no longer a slave. So they come to the slave and they said, listen, you're free. You're no longer under the law. You're no longer under my bondage. So you can be free. You can go. But that slave would say, I've been with you so many years. I like what's going on. I love you. And I've learned to serve you and I've learned to work for you. And because I love you, I don't want to leave. I want to stay. So they said, all right. We'd back him up to a post somewhere, take an awl and it pierced his ear. And with his pierced ear, he's saying, all right, from here on out, I belong to you. Then it's because I want to belong to you. And I believe that's the kind of servant that Paul was. Paul said, hey, I want to serve Christ. I'm not here because I have to be. Paul said, I'm a servant because I want to be. And God is looking for some people in our churches tonight who want to be servants and be willing to humble themselves before Christ and do whatever needs to be done. And we'll see that changes sometimes in our church. Because what happens is we want the high positions. We don't want the low positions. Amen. We'd rather ring the bell if we've got one as to take out the trash. You understand what I'm saying? Brother, we'd rather teach Sunday school as to sit in the corner somewhere and try to direct traffic and be an usher. You understand what I'm saying tonight? We like those little kind of precise jobs that got a little bit of accreditation to them. But the Lord wants us to look at things a little bit different. He's talking about a servant. A slave, a bond slave. It also carries the thought tonight of another thing. Have you ever heard of a galley slave? Amen. Some of you may not know what a galley slave is. But the best I can understand when I look at it, you'll see a galley slave is when they have in those ships, how they run their ships back 100 years ago. And they would put those slaves, and sometimes it was prisoners, and they would take them and put them in the oars. They'd take the oars and they'd row that boat. And they put them in groups, I mean several of them. And they'd take them and tie them to the oars. Some of them were chained to the oar, they couldn't get up. And they'd all in unison begin to roll that boat. And they had one over them, and he had a beat. And when he did, he put the beat to it. And whatever beat they had, that's how they rowed. And if he got faster, they got faster. That's how they done it. That's how they sped the boat up and slowed the boat down. And Paul's saying, I'm like one of them galley slaves. That's why I'm just working and doing what he says to do at the pace he wants me to go and to the rate he wants me to go. Beloved, that's what I want to do tonight. Amen, for the cause of Christ. I want to row at His speed. I want to go when God says go. I want to stop when God says stop. Sometimes God wants you to go. As you want to, and then sometimes He wants you to stop. Sometimes when He wants you to go, you don't want to go. Sometimes when He wants you to stop, you don't want to stop. Amen. We find that in the Israelites. We find that in our life. So God has to put in some things tonight to get us in check. And that's how we're trying to row. And that's why He puts us in the motion. And beloved, tonight we need to be willing to do and go where God wants us to go and be what God wants us to be. Now Paul is describing himself here as a servant. Matter of fact, that's the first thing he mentions in the book of Romans. He said, I want you to know, first of all, I'm a servant. He could have bragged about the apostle. He didn't come into town in Rome and said, hey, or send a letter and say, this is Dr. Paul. This is Dr. Paul or the Reverend Apostle Paul. He could have bragged about it. But he didn't. He said, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm a servant of one who has purchased me, who's Jesus Christ. He's the one that bought me. He's the one that went to the cross. He's the one that went to the grave. He arose on the third day. And because of Him, and because of His living, and because of His life, and because He lives forevermore, I have life too. Praise God. Paul said, that's what keeps me motivated. It's what keeps me going. Sometimes people get motivated by other things. But tonight, Paul is motivated being a servant here. So we'll see that he mentions Jesus Christ 5 times in the first 8 verses here. Look at it. He brags on Jesus. When I look at that, I think about this. Why, it's hard to get anybody in the church sometimes to have a holy grunt and even mention the name of the Lord 1 time in a week's time out in the public. Amen. And people get to the place, they don't want to even talk about the Lord. And they don't even mention the name of Christ. And if they do, they kind of slide it out their mouth and don't say it loud because they're afraid somebody else is going to hear it. Brother, if you're ashamed of Christ, He'll be ashamed of you before the Father. I want to tell you tonight, Paul was not ashamed. Matter of fact, he goes on in the book of Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's what? The power of God unto salvation. Amen. Which is, if you will, tonight, the theme of the book of Romans once again. Now, I look at these things and I see it. He had been bought with that price. Paul is saying here, he said, I've been captured by Him. I'm devoted to Him. And I'm working for Him. Praise God, He's got me. He said, I've been constrained by the Lord. I've been compelled by the Lord. I'm being controlled by the Lord. Amen. He said, He has won me. I'm His and He's mine. And I can't help it. I gotta keep a moving for the glory of God. Amen. Now He said, it was some kind of particular servant here that He was. Amen. What kind of servant was He? He was a servant that was qualified to be called an apostle. Now, I want to jump to that word apostle. I may not be able to finish this tonight, but when we get to that word apostle, it's important. You've heard me preach many years, some of you, and you've heard me preach the thought that Paul was the 12th apostle to fill the place of Judas Iscariot. You'll find some preachers will not agree with that. And you'll find some that teach you a little bit different. And there was a time in my life when I was not real sure of that. And I had to study the Word of God. And they'll tell you that those two that they picked, that was Matthias, and that's one that they picked. And he was the one to fill the shoes of the 12th apostle or to fill Judas Iscariot. And I differ with them. I have come to the conclusion more involved in it, more satisfied and settled with tonight that the Apostle Paul was the one to fill the shoes of Judas Iscariot. And I read that and somebody said, well, I won't agree with you. You don't have to. But I want to try to show you some things from the Word of God tonight that why I believe that and why I've already settled on it and don't want to turn around and will not change on that as far as I know tonight. Amen. An apostle had to qualify to be an apostle. I do not believe there's any apostles tonight. And I want to give you a doctrine of that I probably won't get into. It's called apostolic succession. And I'm not going to run that tonight. I probably won't get time, but if I do, I will. But we all got people today that calls themselves apostles. I can give you some scriptures that they had it in that day. And Jesus said it was wrong. I'll give you scriptures on that. But to be an apostle, Paul had a problem with this at Rome. They thought him. They did not believe he was an apostle. They believed that when he called himself an apostle, that he was a self-imposed apostle. That he had set himself up for an apostle. And therefore, they began to persecute him, and they began to talk about him, and many of them would not even believe and accept what Paul preached because they did not believe that he was an actual certified apostle. And he had problems with it. And you will too if you don't get this right. The Bible said we're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now we're not built on the apostles per se. We are built on the foundation of the apostles. And I want to tell you tonight, if Paul had it wrong, and you're calling him an apostle, and you're building upon the foundation of what Paul said, then tonight you're running in trouble. But I'm glad tonight you can build on what Paul preached. You can build on what Paul taught. You can build on what Paul gave us out of those 13 books. 14th, I keep saying it, of the book of Hebrews. Amen? Now let me give you a few thoughts. Put this in your notes.
The an apostle, that's the title. It was a special title. There's only in the Bible, as far as I know, 12 apostles. And 13 if you count Judas Iscariot. You said, do you count him? Yeah, he was one of the apostles. He was not saved, but he wasn't a full, true, blooded apostle as we know an apostle from Christ. He was an apostle in name only. You got that now? Just like a lot of these others are running up and down the country. You hear these little radios that say, this is Apostle Joe, this is Apostle Paul, this is Apostle Sam. I hear it. Every once in a while, you get one of them. Bro, they'll run it. I mean, run it right. Now, you can be a disciple and not be an apostle. But you cannot be an apostle and not be a disciple. Huh? Oh, preacher, don't do me that way. Study it out. All right. First of all, here are the qualifications for being an apostle. Number one, he had to see the risen Lord. He had to see the Lord face to face, the risen Christ. You said Paul never saw Him, the risen Lord. Well, alright, let's go your route for a minute. Sure, He wasn't with the disciples. He was not with the Lord on the earth when the Lord, well, He was on the earth, but He wasn't with the Lord in the ministry for 3 years. But Paul was sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, being taught and learned in the things of God and the law. But let me give you something. You said, preacher, I do not... But, well, here's where I get that. I didn't just want to tell you something and not give you something to back it up. Here's where we slow down. Because if we don't get this, we're going to miss it. Acts chapter 1. Go to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to take a few minutes here. 5-10 more minutes, we'll be through. Listen. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. This is where they're picking the empty spot. They're trying to fill the position of Judas. Verse 21, Acts 1, wherefore these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. What they're saying is, these men right here have seen the Lord. They've seen the risen Lord, so they're staying with that practice. And with that qualification that they had to see the risen Lord. And look at verse 22. Beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. What's that mean? We'll see the risen Lord. That is a qualification. These boys right here qualify. They said, number one, they qualify. And they picked them two and they said, now Lord, which one of them is it? Amen. And they picked Matthias, but he never did do anything. All right. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Stay with me a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And go with me to verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 1. Am I not an apostle? Question mark. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? Paul said, you saying I haven't seen the Lord, the resurrected Christ? What he said. Are you saying that? He said, are you saying I haven't seen the Lord? Now slide over just a little bit more with me, please, to chapter 15, that good chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. We love that 15th chapter, don't we? Especially, moreover, brethren, when he talks about, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I love that part. All right. This is the resurrection chapter. But we go to it. He said, moreover, brethren, verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory, amen, what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Then, here's what He said, and that He was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12, the rest of them. Now verse 6, after that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. But look at verse 8. He said, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Paul said, I've seen him. I've seen him. I've seen him. He's seen me. I've seen the resurrected Christ. You say, where do you see him at? Well, where do you think he's seen him at? He didn't see him when Stephen seen him. He didn't see him then. Where did he see him at? Oh, you said, preacher, tell me. I will. Amen. Where did he see him? He saw him on the road to Damascus. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. I'm going to clear this up and I ain't going to have time to finish it. Amen. I just love to get into Scriptures and leave it hanging open, I reckon. Amen. Chapter 9 of the book of Acts. And we're going down, please, if you will. Let's look at chapter 9 and verse number 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Now you say what you want to, but I believe the Lord appeared right here to him. I can give you some more in just a minute. Another place. He said, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him. Now he saw a light and he heard a voice. And the voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And notice what Paul said in verse 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I believe he saw the Christ right here. Amen. Why? Because the glory of God, brother, you can't take it. And he saw enough of Christ on that road to Damascus that he went down to Straight Street and stayed down there 3 days and could not see till Ananias came and took the scales off his eyes. Amen. You look on the Lord in full glory. Now, let me just give you another little thought to think about, and I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures. Listen. When Jesus came to the disciples, every single one of them that He called into the discipleship, He looked them in the face and said, follow Me and I'll make you fishers of men. Personally, He invited them into the work. And they left up what they was doing and they went out and began to follow Jesus. Now we'll find why. Why in the New Testament do you find the light? Matter of fact, you show me another place in the Word of God where the light come down and somebody got saved under the light. Another place in the New Testament. Amen. I saw some light when I got saved, but it wouldn't strike me down and I was blind 3 days. Why? Because the Lord personally, out of glory, stepped down off the scene of time, brother, and came to where Saul was and called him specifically into the ministry of the work of God on the road to Damascus. He didn't know what's going on. Amen. Nobody else saw the Lord that day. Now let's read some scriptures here. So I want to add this, and what I never heard any of theologians and other Bible scholars even talk about it. But not only should they see the resurrection of the resurrected Christ, but they had to have a personal invite into the work of God to be a disciple. And the Lord now stopped now, took time, and invited Paul into the discipleship so he'd be an apostle. Go to Acts chapter number 22. I love opening the Word of God, Acts chapter 22. In Acts chapter 22, in verse number 7, the Bible said, talking about the same instance in chapter 9, I fell under the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, but it wasn't bright enough to blind them, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Amen. You got it now, didn't you? Who was he speaking to? Paul. Now go with me to Acts chapter number 26. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 13, the Bible said, and at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. Above the brightness. Who is brighter than the sun? The S-O-N. Now you know why he's blind. He saw the glory of God. How many of you saw the glory of God when you got saved? That you was like he did. Nobody. You know why? Because God is putting Paul into that place. I believe that with all my heart. Now listen. He said, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he said this. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. He told us that three times now. Amen. I can give you a couple more places. Paul saw him in the first chapter of Galatians 2. The Lord walked and talked with him for a space of 3 years. And then he went down to see Peter. When he first got saved, he did not confer with flesh and blood, but he went into the Arabian desert. Now, guess what he did? The Lord taught him. That's another thing, and I ain't got time for that. That's another thing that an apostle had to have. He had to have some teachings from the Lord. Personally from the Lord. Do you believe Paul was taught personally from the Lord? That's why he gave us an instance in Galatians chapter 1 that he was out in the Arabian desert. God taught him, and he told him what he wanted him to preach. And he went preaching. So we find that there. And then there's another time. Of course, I don't believe this goes into the thought here, but I'll throw you another time. When he's caught up into the third heaven and saw things that he couldn't even come back and tell you about. Unlawful to be uttered. So them three times, I believe he's had an experience with the Lord Jesus. Amen. I rest my case on that tonight. Anybody wants to argue with me? And I'll take any of your scriptures. You'll give them to me. We'll look at it. I don't have a closed mind on the Word of God. If there's anything anything you can prove to me I'm teaching wrong, please, let's talk about it. Amen. We won't argue about it. Let's talk about it. And we'll talk about it and we'll find out what's right. The same Holy Ghost can give us the same answer. We have the same mind and the same judgment if we'll have the same Spirit. And I praise God for that. I get so tired of these people believe one thing one way and another thing and this declare the Holy Spirit done it. Amen. Well, I don't have time to finish all the rest of it. But maybe I'll just give you enough to chew on. All right? Praise God. I believe Paul was the apostle. Now, he said an apostle called to be an apostle. I believe he is called. We ain't talked about that word called yet. Amen. We'll talk about that later. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, touch us tonight. As they come to the instruments, I pray, God, that You'd give us wisdom and understanding. And may, Lord, we listen to You tonight as You speak to our hearts. And Lord, may we accept the Word of God. Lord, trust it because it won't fail. Well, may we put our trust in You, in the Word. Lean not on our own understanding, but upon the Word. We give You the praise and the glory. Touch hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. While they play, let's stand.